Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. We're meant to be a nation of animal lovers, so it's hard to believe that we're still talking about cruelty to animals and possible changes in the law to provide more protection for our pets. But what is animal cruelty, according to the RSPCA? It's when someone causes harm to an animal. It's as simple as that, whether it's intentional or not. To discuss their campaign, Cancel Out Cruelty, is RSPCA Press Officer Suzanne Norbury, who joins me on the line now. Good evening, Suzanne.
Good evening, Clive. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight.
Not at all. Thank you for joining me. First of all, tell me a little bit about the work of the RSPCA and its history.
Well, we're an animal welfare charity. We're the oldest. We were created in 1924, so we're almost at our 200th anniversary. And we deal with absolutely all animals out there. We're the only charity out there with frontline teams rescuing animals, and that's everything, not just cats and dogs, so everything: snakes, wildlife, horses, any animal that's in need of help, we're here for them.
Tell me about your campaign called Cancel Out Cruelty.
Yeah, well, what we've hoped to do, we've looked at incidents of intentional cruelty. So that's when someone is deliberately harms an animal. So that's, we've seen all sorts, sort of stabbings, burnings, animals being terribly mistreated. And we're hoping to raise awareness of their plight. So we've looked at each individual county and looked at the number of calls we've had. And that's unfortunately where the West Midlands had come in, one of the hot spots. So what we're hoping to do with the campaign is raise awareness of the plight of animals and do what we can to fight it, if we can.
In your view and your humble opinion, what do you think actually goes through somebody's mind when they deliberately set out to harm an animal? Because I don't understand it.
Oh, myself neither. I've got a cat and a dog myself, and the thought of harming them in any way is just heartbreaking. There is all sorts of reasons, and our teams, our inspectors who are out there saving lives day in, day out, they see a real range of reasons why people perhaps mistreat animals. There's that sort of deliberate violence, when perhaps someone has lost their temper or has anger problems themselves. And we also see neglect, where people are perhaps not aware of how to take care of an animal or make sure they give that best practice. So, and there can also as well be, unfortunately, health problems with individuals that lead them to behaving in certain ways. So we believe that there's always a chance for education, intervention and legislation as well, where necessary, to just protect animals and make people more keen to stamp out cruelty. I think we are a nation of animal lovers, and thankfully the incidents of intentional cruelty are incredibly rare, although we are seeing about 2 an hour out of our calls. We get around 84,000 calls each month to our emergency line, and out of those, about 2 an hour, so that's 47 each day from around the country, are animals that have been deliberately harmed by someone, which we think that figure's too high, and we'll do anything we can to bring it down.
I mean, it doesn't sound a high figure, but actually if you work it out and do the maths, it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, even one is high if you think about it, because, you know, it should be zero in an ideal world. Now, there are hot spots of cruelty, aren't there? When the West Midlands is the third on your list, I find that extraordinary.
Sadly so. I mean, we never know the reasons why. We've got the Greater London and Greater Manchester area. These are big urban areas where there are lots of people. But we are seeing that these are the areas that we are having the most reports, we're having the most incidents, and people are probably aware of, as a charity, we take private prosecutions, so they probably see the court cases as well, sadly. So we don't know why exactly that is, but it is a reason of concern. So we just hope to reach out to people in the West Midlands to ask them to help us, to help animals if they can.
How strong do you think the legislation is in support of your work?
Well, I mean, we've seen great changes. We've seen tougher sentencing come in very, very recently. So previously, the maximum sentence someone could get would be just 6 months behind bars. So that's been changed recently with an upper sentence of 5 years. So that's a really recent change in recent weeks. So we're really glad that's happening, and we're glad to see other things, but we're constantly campaigning as a charity alongside our rescuing and prosecuting and all that sort of rehabilitation work with animals. One of the big things we do is campaigning. So recently we've been campaigning obviously on dogs in hot cars and all those sort of things that people are aware of, but the recent campaign is pets as prizes. So people seeing goldfish at fairgrounds, we sadly see so much cruelty relating to that. So we're constantly looking at ways to help the government look at legislation and ideally get the government to change it. As a charity, we have no power to change the laws ourselves, but we're constantly lobbying for those improvements to be made for animals.
And you do that, obviously, by evidence and examples.
We do. We try and get the message out there. So one of the really awful things we see an awful lot of animals shot by air weapons. So this is wildlife. There's been incidents in your patch in recent weeks where swans and geese have been targeted. So it's showing that to try and get the changes in the law, and that's just a small example. It's all sorts of things in the work we work in, sort of science and medicine, international animal welfare, just so as many animals can get the care they need and deserve.
Talking about Cancel Out Cruelty, what events are you running as part of this campaign?
What we're doing is we're calling on people to help us. So we always have all sorts of events going on in the local area, and we'd encourage people to look at the local RSPCA branch, see what they've got going on in terms of sort of fundraising events and things like that. But we're certainly asking people to support us. We're campaigning for education, animal welfare education, to go on the curriculum. It's something that's hugely important to us, and we know it's hugely important to our supporters as well. So there's many ways. We'd ask people, if they want to support us, you can become a volunteer, become a campaigner, become a fundraiser, and just get involved. And if we all work together, we can hopefully make things better.
The RSPCA has described summer as the cruelest part of the year for dogs. Why?
We do see a rise. Again, it's so very difficult to see why. I mean, last year we had 7,700 calls last year about dogs being harmed. That's 34 a day. So they're huge numbers. It's very difficult to say exactly why. We do see in summer, we see a 20% rise in those cruelty cases. Again, it's impossible to give the exact reasons why or why some animals more than others, but we do see that it is a really hard time of year for dogs and other animals too, but dogs do come the top of the list for the animals that people are cruel towards.
You mentioned a moment ago about dogs being left in hot cars. Do you think people are just a bit naive and a bit daft and don't think?
I think we hope to just sort of stress the message, and that's what we want to do. We want to help people help their animals. So I think sometimes people are unaware of just how hot it can get in a car for an animal. We sadly see it each year when we have a heat wave, that someone says they've just nipped to the shops for a few minutes or perhaps just left the dog in the car. But we'd really encourage people to really think twice, because the temperatures cars can rise to can be enormous, and it doesn't take long for dogs to start suffering in those circumstances.
No, that's right. Tell me about the effect that the pandemic has had on the number of the reports of cruelty, because people have been at home a lot more, particularly last year. And I think, you know, for people that love their pets have been very fortunate that their owners have been there all the time. But that must have caused problems as well, surely.
It's been a hugely difficult year for us. It's been really difficult with the pandemic. We've thankfully not seen a huge rise in numbers. We're still seeing the high numbers that we see each year. But we are concerned going forward. We're concerned because so many people have perhaps taken pets on in lockdown, and now things are easing off a little bit. We'd encourage them to make sure that perhaps if you're going back to the office, that you provide that care for particularly dogs who could suffer separation anxiety, just so that they're ready and happy and fine if you do go back and spend fewer hours at home.
I mean, if I'm honest with you, people say to me, you know, have you got pets? And the answer is no, I don't, simply because I'm in and out at all sort of funny times, as you are
That's
in this job.
Yeah.
You know, with television work and so on and so forth. So it's not fair on the animal. I want to wait until I retire so that that animal and I can have that relationship together.
Right.
You know, I would love a dog, and you know, but it's just not practical at the moment. And I think you have to be realistic. It's all right, you know, people saying, oh, Christmas is only five, six months away. You know, we'll have a dog. Well, hang on a minute. You need to think that through, surely.
Oh, absolutely. And that goes for all animals.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Anything from small furries. We've got Guinea Pig Awareness Day is today, and we've had Rabbit Awareness Week recently as well. And we do find that some of these sort of starter pets that children have, that perhaps families are, they're their first pet for people, that they sometimes see the neglect as well, because people are perhaps not aware of making sure they can meet their needs. And what we'd encourage, we've got all sorts of tips and advice on our RSPCA website, which just help people make sure that they know everything from the right size of cages to best practice with exercise, or perhaps the best way to look after a horse or snake. So all that information's out there. So our message to anyone looking for an animal would firstly be, adopt, not shop. There are animal centres that have got wonderful animals in there that are looking for that desperate second chance they need. Mm. And secondly, research that they fit your life. So someone like yourself who's perhaps out of the home all the time, if you were looking for an animal, someone who fits in with your life as well, just so that they are getting that care and that you're getting the best you can out of your animal as well.
One of my friends lives in Scotland and works in local government up there, but at the moment has been working from home a lot of the time, but has recently taken up a pastime of fostering dogs. So a dog will come stay with my friend for a period of time while the dog awaits its permanent home, because it's better to be in a domestic environment, which the dog is probably used to, as opposed to, you know, in a cage at, you know, a rescue centre or wherever. So he started doing that, and I think that's really quite a good idea. So
I
guess you can do something like that.
Absolutely. We have a lot of dogs and even cats and other animals who are looking for foster care. So finding that ideal home environment that can get animals perhaps used to those environments before they go on to the permanent home, that's an absolute lifeline for our rescue teams. Not every animal is comfortable and happy in the animal centre, and it's so important to us that we find the right environment for an animal, even if that's a sort of temporary stop in its life. So some animals do become incredibly stressed in the kennels, so foster carers, they're an absolute lifeline. So fair play to your friend, he's doing a great job there.
What do you think we can do, though, Suzanne, to stop cruelty? I don't think the laws are strong enough, and I know you, as you say, you've been campaigning for changes in the law, and you do that through evidence, but, you know, I mean, I don't really know what the answer is, and you and I and millions of others like us can't just go around ruling the world, unfortunately, much as we would
like to.
So, you know, what can we do, and what sort of signs can we look out for if we believe an animal in our neighbourhood is being mistreated or something isn't quite right? What should we do?
Is give us a ring and don't be anxious about giving us a call. It's better to have given us a call and the circumstance perhaps not turn out to be as concerning as it is. We'd much prefer that. So we'd encourage people, and that number is 0300 1234 999. And what our investigators do, they look into it and they try and find out more and make sure that animal's getting the care it's needed. And sadly, sometimes that does occasionally lead to prosecutions, but a lot of the time we deal with things through education and advice, so helping people understand what best practice is and how to best look after their animals for them and their animals too.
Just give me that number again, Suzanne, if you will.
It's 0300 1234 999.
Very easy to remember. 0300 1234 999. Where can we find out more information about your work, Suzanne?
Have a look at our, as a charity, we've got a large website that's got all sorts going on in there. So that's www.rspca.org.uk, and that's got everything that people would need to know about different animals. We've got all our information about the Council Out Cruelty campaign, the Pets as Prizes campaign I've mentioned, and dogs in hot cars, and all of those stuff that people expect to see, and there's all sorts going on in there. We also have really, really great social media pages, so people were perhaps to follow our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. The information's constantly going out there, and some happy endings as well. So we nothing is more important to us than when an animal survives and they find that happy forever home when they've been rescued for cruelty. So we're often, through our social media channels, given that chance to showcase animals and their happy lives when they've been rescued from neglect or cruelty.
One final thing, we're due for a period of hot weather this weekend, and as I was saying earlier on, that, you know, it is going to be jolly splendid weather-wise, and it is going to be hot. What can we do to protect our pets and keep them comfortable?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a really important thing at the moment. So we'd encourage people to just take it really carefully. So make sure that animals are cool and calm and that they've got constant access to shade and drinking water. We've also got tips again on our website, from frozen dog treats, how to keep cats cool and how to make sure pets don't get sunburns and things like that. And also tips for wildlife. It's a real struggle for wildlife too. So when you're too hot, the wildlife is as well. So we'd ask people to put out water and show that little bit of support if they can, to make sure that all animals are getting the care they need. So certainly making sure, particularly with dogs as well, taking extra caution on the hot pavement, extra caution outside, and never leaving them in a hot car, conservatory, caravan or somewhere like that.
Suzanne Norbury from the RSPCA, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night
Live. Thank you,
Clive.
Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.